time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
That's Alex Ferrario. He's Tanner Hendrickson. I'm Brandon Kiley. 65780 is your comfort service text line. We'll get into some questions and answers in about 15 minutes or so. But right now, it is time to go out to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line to be joined by our Blues insider for 101 ESPN and The Athletic. He is Jeremy Rutherford joining us here on the show. JR, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Excited. Just a couple days before we'll be sitting out at the rink with real updates.
Yeah, Alex is excited to be out there for Thursday's opening day with training camp. JR, I want to start with what we saw over the weekend, because Scott Perunovic and the Blues were a part of that prospects tournament over the weekend. What was your big takeaway from that tournament as a whole? And then I've got a Scott Perunovic question for you as a follow-up.
Yeah, not so great for the Blues overall as a team. 1-1-1. It's a tough tournament. You take your best prospects there. This year was a little bit different. The Blues had to take a number of free agents, and so not everybody represented. But I think, you know, there were spurts where it looked like a Blues-type team where they played physical and made some plays. But I think you look at the goaltending, Joel Hofer looked pretty good, Colton Ellis. Then you get to a younger guy, Will Cranley, let in a few goals that last game, so that's where that game got out of hand. But I think big picture, the players that the Blues needed to see and step up and who might be a part of this thing this year look pretty good.
So Scott Wheeler writes about prospects over at your website, The Athletic, and he wrote this earlier today as his takeaway from the prospects tournament. He said, if there was an award for the best player in the tournament, Perunovic would have had my vote. He shouldn't be in the he has to earn it territory. He should be in the we have to find a way to make room for him, even if it comes at the expense of a veteran territory. JR, do you agree with that sentiment? How impressed were you with Scott Perunovic's performance in this tournament?
Well, he's right. I think if he did an MVP of the tournament, he just looked sharp. And it's the skating. Like, he's just in and out of traffic and can get wherever he wants on the ice. And I think we've been hearing that for the past couple of years. Just tough to see with the pandemic and then also with Scott Perunovic having the shoulder surgery last year. So he's kind of been on delay. So finally you see it at Traverse City. He looks great. So to address Scott's point about finding room for him, you know, I think that's a possibility. That's the opportunity that he's going to try to create for himself here when he shows up for camp on Thursday. I wrote a piece the other day at The Athletic. He came to camp a month early, paid his own way. He, along with Jake Neighbors, just to get this kind of jump. And so I think that's when you see it pay dividends with the way he played in Traverse City. Now, the situation is the Blues don't have a lot of depth on defense. And so when you talk about putting him ahead of a veteran, if he comes into camp and he looks like he can play in that third pairing, and Robert Bortuzzo, Nico Mikkola, you know, who's a younger guy himself, one of those guys becomes a healthy scratch and Perunovic jumps him, you know, I can see that as a possibility. But we do have to keep in mind that even though he looked great at the tournament, BK, he hasn't played a ton in the last 18 months, just practices, not much game action. It could be a situation where he needs some time in the AHL. We'll find out in the next couple of days.
JR, a two-part question here. Who, in your opinion, do you think he has to leapfrog over to steal a spot on this big league team? And then second part of the question is, what would his role be if he was a part of this team?
Yeah, and to me, I think that you look at this Blues defense, Jake Walman, how real is he? He looked pretty good last year in a small sample size, didn't play a ton of games, but after years of seeing Jake Walman look like a fringe player, you know, I think he told you that he could be in your top seven or at least in your depth area, number eight. And so I think he's a guy. I think Nico Mikkola, they think the world of him. They're going to need some physicality on this Blues defense, Alex, and Nico can give you that. And then the other guy is Robert Bortuzzo. You know, I think everybody likes what Bortuzzo brings when he is in the lineup, the physicality, the penalty kill, the shot blocking, so on and so forth. But this defense needs to get the puck up the ice. We saw last year what happens when it doesn't. Perunovic can do that. So the Blues would be adding another smaller size defenseman like a Justin Falk, like a Torrey Krug to this group. But if Perunovic can play, I think he could find his way in the lineup. But it would be over guys like Bortuzzo, Walman, and Mikkola if the Blues so choose to do that.
Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic joining us here on 101 ESPN. JR, on your piece over at The Athletic right now, which people should read, they should subscribe to The Athletic for your writing and reporting all season long, You have 11 guys in the forward group that are basically guarantees, the locks to be able to make this team, which doesn't leave a whole lot of margin for error in terms of the guys competing for potentially that last roster spot. Kind of a two-part question here again. A, do you think Kyle Clifford's guaranteed to be on this team on opening night? And B, who are some of those guys that are competing for that final spot as we go into opening night?
Yeah, not a definite guarantee. You know, I wouldn't bet the farm on it, but he does have 1 year left on his deal at $1 million. It's a one-way deal. Even if he did stay on the roster, he could be a 13th or 14th forward if you do keep a couple extras. You know, I don't think there's going to be any promise to Clifford that, you know, we're going to see him 50, 60 games. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the Blues are going to take a strong look at some of these guys in camp, like Clem Cotton, like a Jake Neighbors. These guys are going to get some opportunity, and I think they could find their way into the lineup. So to me, when you look at the training camp battle at forward, you really see 11 that are kind of set. And then that 12th one, if Robert Thomas gets signed, and, you know, indications are that that could be a possibility that they do get him signed and into camp on time, you know, then he's going to be your 12th guy. The other thing we have to think about is the salary cap. And, you know, will the Blues even carry 14 forwards, 7 defensemen, or 8 defensemen? You know, with the salary cap and them being up against it, there's probably going to be times throughout the season where they're not carrying a couple extra guys at each position. So we'll have to see. But I really do like the training camp battle at forward with Neighbors, with Costin battling for a spot, Dakota Joshua looking for a spot. We remember how good he looked last year. So there are 3 or 4 guys, but it's going to be tough because there's only going to be 1 or 2 spots.
There's 2 other guys that I'm curious about at the forward position, JR, and that's the guys that were signed to the PTO last week, James Neal and Michael Frolik. And, you know, we saw last year where the Blues brought in Mike Hoffman on the PTO and then signed him to that deal. Can you see a similar scenario with a James Neal or Frolik?
I suppose, but we got to go back to the cap situation. You know, obviously they're going to be cheap to bring in and sign if the Blues do like what they see. But in talking to some people around the league about Neal and Frolik, you know, obviously these guys are on the backside of their career. Neal, at this point, he can probably help you a little bit on the power play, but who are you going to unseat on the power play? I realize you lose Mike Hoffman, but, you know, Craig Berube doesn't like taking several of those guys off that top unit. And even though he can help you there a little bit, what's he going to do 5-on-5? Not a great 5-on-5 player. Would probably be a fourth line type guy. And similar situation with Frolik. Could probably help a little bit. But I just think that you have guys here in St. Louis that are a little bit part of your future and signs that make more sense than these guys. A lot of times what happens with these PTOs, and the Blues have signed their share of them, but a lot of times these guys just want to get on the ice and audition for somebody. Maybe they don't make this Blues roster, but one of the exhibition games they play, a team on the other side takes a look at them. So possibility, I guess you could say, but I think it's a long shot for those guys.
JR, final question that I've got for you. There's been some buzz that Vladdy's looking pretty good in some of the practices that they've had out there that are not organized by the team, but just the guys skating around. What have you heard about Vladdy and how he looks so far?
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, and this is going back, you know, several weeks when he's been out there skating. I've heard that looked pretty good, and hey, I think that's what I expected. I mean, you have a situation, A, where a player has a lot to prove, B, if he really does want to get moved, and Doug Armstrong has acknowledged having conversations with him saying, hey, we need to have you ready to play for the St. Louis Blues, and if you, in fact, want to, you know, keep your trade request and you want to get moved, you know, we've got to have some production. And so, you know, I think it's good to hear that Vladdy's in good shape. You know, at times throughout his career, that's been somewhat of a question mark. And then I know that he's obviously dealt with 3 shoulder surgeries. So to see him back in form, out there practicing, ready for the start of the camp with the rest of the team, like we really haven't seen the past couple of years, it bodes well. Now my question is, what's going to be the role? What's going to be the ice time? Who's he going to play ahead of? Those are the things that are intriguing me heading into Thursday.
Jeremy Rutherford is your Blues insider for The Athletic. You can check him out on Twitter as well. He's at JP Rutherford. JR, we're looking forward to the Blues season right around the corner at this point. Thanks so much for hopping on with us today, and we'll talk to you about some actual on-ice product for the NHL club next week when we talk to
JR,
you again.
JR, I promise I'll keep the Hall & Oates comps to myself this time.
Let's do it all season. I'm looking forward to it. Even the bizarre Alex Ferrario comparisons.
I can't wait. It's my favorite time
of
the year.
One of them will come out on Thursday.
Jeremy Rutherford here on 101 ESPN.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.